We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's go have some fun, boys. Let's go perform today.
We're getting you ready for today's game
with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Touchdown, Atlanta!
For the next 2 hours,
join our hosts Hugh Douglas and Will Palache
as they talk everything Falcons,
as well as a look around the league.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Hugh and Will.
We've reached the 17th week of the NFL season, and the Falcons and Buccaneers will play out the string today at Raymond James Stadium. Willie P and Hugh Douglas here with you. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The 4-11 Atlanta Falcons take on Tampa Bay, who is a team that is vying for playoff positioning today. Hugh Douglas, good morning. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Happy New Year, Willie. Happy New Year. I don't even know. I was about to say something else, but then it just came out that way. Happy New Year.
I'm
Happy
good,
New Year,
baby.
Atlanta. How you doing?
So I feel like there's a very palpable sense of we just want this day to get over with as quickly as possible and as painlessly as possible. And I think, too, you know, the last couple of weeks, I feel like you and I have been kind of sucked into the way the Falcons have started games. And, of course, you think about the way they finish. We all know the way that this usually has worked for us. But I wonder if there's a sense of hope brewing, because I think, you know, after today, that's when the real work begins for this organization and for this front office.
I would probably have to go with that. I mean, you're talking about as far as who's going to be the next head coach, who's going to be the next general manager, and what direction this team is going to go in, all of that. I think is, you know, and as far as you're talking about how the games end, yeah, man, it's tough. You know, you see the strong starts, and then it just fizzles out. I mean, all year long, Willie P, for me personally, you know, watching the Falcons games, they get out to a strong start. They might even get out to a strong lead. Defense is playing well. I always look at it like, yeah, you know what, that's great. But we still got about, what, 30 minutes left in the game. And it's like, you know, something's going to happen where the wheels are going to fall off the wagon. And it's unfortunate because this team has been fighting. They've been fighting tooth and nail. It just hasn't worked out for them. So, yeah, it's very unfortunate that it's gone like that for them.
There is a wistful nature that I feel, though, with this final game. Because even though this is a lost season for the Atlanta Falcons, I do feel a sense of, you know, we only get 16 of these weeks out of the 52. And there's nothing like a football Sunday. You know this as well as anybody because you played the game. So to me, I don't like that the last half of this season has been somewhat of a fait accompli. You know, we kind of know the way that this has gone. And four straight losses, I understand that there was a point in time where you thought Raheem Morris had this team playing on the right track and possibly had the ship steer in the right direction. But now it almost seems like, okay, you know, let's just get to the finish without anybody getting majorly injured.
Yeah, basically that's what it is. I mean, it's just at this point, man, you know, we're everybody's, I would guess, is just like, you know what, let's just move on. I even saw yesterday where there were some memes, you know, talking about putting Justin Fields in a Falcons uniform.
Oh, you
know,
yeah.
People are just ready to move on from this, man, and just, you know, hope springs eternal. Just ready to get to the next season, get to the offseason, get to the draft, and all the other good stuff.
Does the Week 17 win over the Buccaneers prove anything other than this team has, you know, an unquestioned amount of pride and heart, because if there is one thing you can take as an optimistic sense for the Falcons over the last couple of weeks, we cannot question the effort. They have shown up, and you and I think we are both bloodhounds in a sense that we can smell when effort is not there. Effort's a very, very hard thing to detect when it's there and not there. I feel like the effort is there. It's just the execution has not always been.
Yeah. I mean, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating for the guys that are out there playing, you know, trying to get it done, and it's not happening. I can only imagine, Willie P, you know, being in a situation where, you know, you're out there busting your chops every week, every Sunday, and the outcome not being exactly what you want it to be, and, you know, still have to go out there and do your thing, you know. And being in a situation where, you know, honestly, you're probably feeling like every week, okay, how is it going to fall off the wagon this year, or how is it going to go off the rails this week? I mean, because I think that's where the Falcons are as far as, you know, being in games and playing well. It's just not coming together for them at the end.
Losses of 5-3, 4-3 the last 4 weeks against the Saints, Chargers, Bucks, and the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. A week ago, we do see Tampa Bay again. We see a somewhat ailing Tampa Bay. Three major key cogs of their defense will not play today. Devin White and Shaq Barrett in the linebacking core, defensive lineman Steve McClendon. But this defense is still not devoid of playmakers in Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, Devontae David, and also a very stout back end. What did you like that the Falcons did first time around to build that big lead against Tampa?
You know, they moved the ball well. If I remember back to that game, I think they ran the ball pretty decent in that game. You know, they spread the ball around, and the defense played extremely well. They got a little bit of pressure on Tom Brady early, but it's the tale of two halves when it comes to this Atlanta Falcons football team. And as you saw in the second half, Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to move the ball down the field. They were able to provide Tom Brady with the protection that he needed to get the ball to the playmakers. And that's basically the bottom line. It seems like when you go into the half with this team, the adjustments that the other team makes is the death knell for the Atlanta Falcons. It just, for whatever reason, you know, the halftime adjustments, they get a chance to look at what's ailing them or what's hurting them, and they're able to adjust to that. And then it's the defense goes silent. Offensively, the offense goes silent. They can't score, or they have trouble scoring. Or, you know, we rely too much on Younghoe Koo's leg.
Exactly. it's funny. We rely on his leg, and his leg ended up falling for us last week when it came to the game against Kansas City. People who cover the Buccaneers feel like halftime of the game that we played them 2 weeks ago was a turning point for them. Tom Brady went 43 of 56, 77% completion, 668 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 0 picks, and a 151.5 rating, which is about 7 less than the perfect rating. That's the last two quarters of the win in Atlanta and the first two quarters of their win against a shorthanded Detroit team who was without its head coach. Brady is getting healthy at the right time, in line for playoff time. Has he looked like a different quarterback to you than he did in the first half of the season?
Yeah, you know what? It looks like he's getting comfortable, Willie P. And that's one of the things that I was reading about this morning, you know, getting ready for the show, and they were talking about how the Bucs right now are surging a little bit, you know, and how they do look comfortable. And, I mean, you know, when you talk about preparing for the playoffs and going to the playoffs, this is the time where you want things like this to happen. You want everything to start clicking on all cylinders because it's playoff time. And, you know, this is the time where, you know, you want your team to start looking like a playoff contender. And that's what they're looking like. Tom Brady's like he's rounding into shape. And let's not forget that we're talking about a team that just came together in the offseason, had no offseason, and he's there. And now it just looks like everybody's slowly getting on the same page.
We talk about our Atlanta Falcons team here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Falcons and Bucks, 1 o'clock, Raymond James Stadium. We go back to last week and a 3-point loss to Kansas City. We talked at the outset going into last week, Hugh, that this could be either an audition of sorts or a courtship of sorts for potential new Falcons head coach Eric Bieniemy, the OC in Kansas City. How did last week's performance size up in your mind as far as trying to showcase this team for a new GM and head coach, one that could have possibly been in that same building?
I would say that, you know, the team has a lot of fight in them. I think the biggest attractive thing about the Atlanta Falcons is the ability to change. You know, when you talk about coming in, you know, you talk about the GM coming in, you talk about the head coach coming in. I mean, it's been stated on more than one occasion that it's going to be up to the head coach and the GM about some of the major decisions that need to be made on this football team. You know, I mean, and that has been the conversation over the last couple of weeks. Are you going to give the team, are you going to give this new regime the power to do what it needs to do to make this team competitive? And I think that regardless of that, you look at this squad and say, for instance, if I was auditioning or I wanted the GM job, the one thing that I find attractive about this team is, like, you have some pretty decent defensive pieces in the two Clemson players, A.J. Terrell and Grady Jarrett, you know, and Foye Oluokun. He looks like he's a player. Deion Jones. It's some young guys around here that look like, you know, I can build with, I can work with those young guys. I mean, and I think that's the most encouraging thing when you look at this team, is that you have those pieces that you can, you know, build around and have some success with.
You had leads in 9 of your 11 losses. Does that give you a sense of you're close, or does it give you a sense of it's almost fool's gold? It's like a mirage.
Now see, Willie P, that's a good question. That all depends on how the GM looks at it. You know, if you look at it like you're close, and some people, we've talked to some people on the air a few times, and some people feel like, you know, Matt Ryan's still a good serviceable quarterback. Julio Jones is still a good receiver. He's really still a good receiver that can still make plays. And you might just need to add that running back piece. You might need to tweak that offensive line a little bit. And you might feel like you have enough to win with. Somebody might look at it, Willie P, and feel like, you know, this is a complete overhaul to a certain extent. You know, you might want to get another quarterback. You want to be a little bit more innovative on offense. So it just all depends on the guy that they decide to hire. And I think we have to go back to what Rich McKay said when he was talking about this team. He said he's going to give whomever they give this job to a chance to look at this roster and tell them why they should make this, that, or the third move when it comes to these players. And I think that's important, because that's what we're talking about. Because somebody might look at this team and feel like Matt Ryan has enough left in the tank where you can win with or make a run with. Somebody might feel like, you know, it's time to move on from Julio Jones because he's hurt all the time. Or Matt Ryan, for that matter, or both. You know, it just all depends on where you're at as far as, you know, the GM is concerned and what he feels he can do with the pieces that he has.
Have you ever built a fire, like, in the forest?
Man, do I look like I go forest in the forest at all?
But I'm just saying, like,
if I'm in the forest, I got some matches.
I feel like there's enough here to build a serviceable fire with lighter fluid. But if you tear it down to the studs, you're going to have to start from scratch. And as you know, in the forest, it takes a longer time to build a fire than it does when you don't have matches, so to speak.
I like that analogy, I think.
I'll explain it to you next time we go camping. How about that?
Yeah.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P, Hugh Douglas here with you. The Bucks do have something to play for today, despite having clinched a playoff berth. We'll get into that and the entirety of the NFL playoff scenarios later on in the program. We're here with you until 11 o'clock on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Download the Radio.com app and take us with you wherever you go.
Just go. Catch up on the latest Atlanta sports, no matter where you are. If Atlanta sports matter to you,
get the Radio.com app and never miss a thing.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
The biggest tailgate party in the state is right here.
No, we be tailgating.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There you got Blake and Powell to the right, Gage to the left. They go straight ahead with Ito Smith. Touchdown, Atlanta. And Brian Hill comes sprinting off the Falcon bench to meet Ito Smith in the end zone.
Call courtesy of West Durham, which we've loved hearing over the course of this season here on the Falcons Radio Network and, of course, on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P and Hugh Douglas back here with you. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We've done this every week, 4 hours before every Falcons contest. Of course, we're getting you ready for Falcons and Bucks. And there is something on the line for Tampa today in terms of playoff seeding. Currently, they sit in the number 5 seed, which is an enviable position for them because they would get the winner of the NFC East, either the Giants Washington football team or Dallas, depending on how those results go later on today. They're going to have to go on the road regardless in the opening round of the postseason. But if Atlanta wins over Tampa outright and the Rams beat Arizona, the Rams would get that 5 seed and the NFC East winner in the opening round of the playoffs, and Tampa would have to go play the 3 seed on the road. Now, there is a clear delineation between the top 3 division winners and the NFC East winner, no matter who it is. Green Bay, New Orleans, or Seattle is a much tougher assignment, especially for Tampa if they have to go to Seattle and travel all the way across the country diagonally in the opening week of the postseason. So there is something on the line for Tampa today, Hugh. Though my biggest question is to you, what do you believe their intentions are? Do you believe that they will go an entire 4 quarters in this one in order to try and secure that number 5 seed?
I think they will. I think that because, you know, when you talk about those other 3 teams, they're not in a comfortable position right now, you know, Tampa Bay. And I think that a lot of people felt that they would probably be in a better position than the one that they're in. So I think that they'll play their starters and try to get that timing and continuity down as much as they possibly can. And on top of that, Willie P, when you talk about Tom Brady and what he's been or you know, the scenarios that he's been in, I can't think of any time during the playoffs where Coach Belichick rested any of the players. They played all the way through. I think even in that undefeated season, you know, they played all the way through. So that's something that I think he's pretty used to.
Yeah, they played in that Week 17, I believe, that 1 year against the Giants. It was like a Super Bowl rematch situation. And, of course, we saw what happened with them in the actual Super Bowl against New York. But definitely, this is something that I do believe that when Bruce Arians says they are going to take this game fully and seriously, they are going to do that. Again, it all depends on what the Falcons have on their ledger. They will be, again, less than whole, will the Falcons. No Julio Jones, no Brandon Powell, no Darquez Denard, and no Alex Mack. Mack being put on the reserve COVID-19 list. We'll get to Mack's replacement in just a moment. Matt Hennessy, who played last week, had a little bit of a mixed bag. But my biggest question, at least right now, centers on one of the biggest off-season acquisitions for the Falcons, who's been a big bust. Here's Raheem Morris talking about Dante Fowler and not mincing words with how disappointing he's been during the 2020 season.
No, I'll just be frank, and I'll be frank for Dante. It just wasn't good enough for the standard that he's provided for himself or the standard that the Atlanta Falcons have for him. You know, obviously he wants to go out and be a disruptor every single time. He wants to get after the quarterback, and he has not been able to do that enough this year, whether it been COVID, whether it has been injury, whatever the case has been. You know, a lot of things in this business you don't have time for excuses for, and he won't be one of those guys to make excuses. We got to get him going. He's a guy that we have big plans for, and we'll figure out where we can go next with him.
Hugh, I know that he referenced his injuries and also being on the COVID list during this season, but I just look at this as a colossal disappointment, and I can't seem to put my finger on why it hasn't worked for him. I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know if it's we were oversold on him. The fact that he played next to Aaron Donald when he was Los Angeles was something people said during the offseason could be a possible impediment because he might not be playing against somebody who's as good as Donald, even though Grady Jarrett is very, very good. What can you at least put your finger on as to why Fowler has been basically a zero this season?
You know what? The unfortunate thing is this, Willie P. Regardless of what you say about it, the fact remains that he did not have the kind of season that, you know, got him paid. You know, and a lot of people were concerned about the fact that, you know, playing with Aaron Donald, that kind of, you know, that might have been something that you benefited from tremendously. Aaron Donald's a different animal than a Grady Jarrett. Grady Jarrett has played well, and that's not me trying to slight Grady Jarrett in any kind of way, because Grady Jarrett is a Pro Bowler going to would have went to his second one this year. But Aaron Donald's a different breed, man. You're talking about a guy who consistently gets double and triple team. And with that being said, Willie P, you know, that leaves you on the outside one-on-one. Now, I think part of the reason why Dante didn't have the season that he wanted was the part of injury. But I look at some of his pass rush, and you know, he really doesn't turn the corner. Like, he doesn't turn the corner tight. It doesn't look like he engages the tackle as much as he did when he played against us. You know, it looks like he's trying to come off the edge a little bit more. It's a whole bunch of different things that could factor into that. And I think that, you know, like I said, the unfortunate thing is he came in here on a squad that was devoid of pass rush, and, you know, he got hurt, and it was, to fans, it was much of the same thing that we've been used to seeing as far as that position is concerned. It's a whole lot of nothing.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. Hugh Douglas here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm going to ask you a question that might sound stupid, but you have to understand where it's coming from. Is it really that hard to find quality pass rush in the National Football League? Because I'd like to think that I've seen it over the course of the other 31 teams in the NFL. I just know that for the Falcons, it seems like it's been a bit of a load to bear.
Willie P, I'm old school in the way that I approach the game, the way that I rush the passer myself personally. And what I see a lot of times and what I've seen from a lot of guys is, you know, everybody wants to be that speed rusher. Everybody wants to be that guy that has that blazing speed that just comes off the corner and just beats a guy. You know, offensive linemen are too good for that in the NFL. Like, when you look at the way that offensive linemen play, they try to set the same every time, especially when they know – because they know the protection. They know the drop-back scheme. They know all of that. So they know where the quarterback's going to be from the time that, you know, the ball is snapped to when he drops back until when he steps up. They have a pretty good idea where he's going to be. And what I see a lot of times is a lot of young pass rushers, they will run up the field, and if they see the quarterback, to them, that's a win. Like, when you run around the corner and you see the quarterback but you get pushed beside him, for them, they consider that a win. No, you have to stress the pocket. You have to make it uncomfortable for him. You have to squeeze the pocket. A lot of guys don't do that. You know, Aaron Donald squeezes the pocket from his position. Grady Jarrett is a guy that squeezes the pocket. You have to squeeze the pocket, because when you look at quarterbacks drop back, you notice how it looks like somebody – when you look at a pocket, if you overlaid it with a pair of hands, it's like a pair of hands cradling you. Mm-hmm. You know, you have all the things outside the hands, but then you have the quarterback in the pocket, and it's like he's being cradled. That's what they want, you know, because for them, in that pocket, they can see everything that they want to do. Right. They can look downfield and all this stuff. You have to figure out a way – to put a dent in that pocket. And a lot of guys don't do that. And young pass rushers, they'll run up the field and they feel like they're getting, you know, looking at the quarterback or whatever, getting pressure. Nah, bro, that's not what's hot in the streets. You got to be able to crush that pocket and make him uncomfortable, make him move his feet, make him move around. And Dante didn't do that a whole lot this year.
It's so easy to climb once you have a guy who's gone upfield like that. And, you know, climbing the pocket is something that I think we've seen a lot of quarterbacks do against the Falcons this season. Though I wonder too, and this I think we'll get into what Dante had to say for himself, is it just a physical issue? I mean, I do feel like from him, he has the moves, but he talked about, and we'll hear from him in a second, bigger, faster, stronger is what he wants to get. Is it a physical thing with him?
That blew, like that right there kind of blew my mind. I mean, dude, like, this is me not trying to be disrespectful, but you talk about bigger, faster, stronger. Hell, this ain't your first year. This ain't your first rodeo. Like, what the hell you mean by that? Bigger, stronger, faster. What, are the offensive linemen out there in the West different than the ones in the South? When he said that, I heard it and I'm like, what does that mean? I need to get bigger, stronger, faster. Dude, you've been in the league for a while. Like you're on your second contract. What the hell you mean by that? What does that mean? I don't understand. Bigger, stronger, faster. Stronger than what? Than the year that you had, what, 15 sacks or whatever it was you had the year before? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I don't understand that. The game is not that much different from the West to the South. It's not. It's the same game. I didn't get that.
Here is what Dante had to say about his season.
Just basically getting bigger and stronger. So, you know, these things, these little nicks and injuries that I have won't come up again. And just the facts just prove and show that when I'm bigger, stronger and faster, I'm able to play at my best of my ability.
You and I have talked about how the game has been so skewed towards the offense. Basically, you know, all the flags and all the rules have basically been given to affect and enhance offense. Mm-hmm. The one place on the football field where the defense has an edge is in the pass rush game. And you say this all the time because an offensive lineman basically has to be on backwards roller skates because he has to drop back and do a kickstand or whatever the form is.
Yeah.
This is a much different type of skill set than run blocking, than anything else that you have to do on the football field. And this is the one place where the defense has the advantage and the Falcons can't seem to harness it for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't understand, man. And it's one of those things where, you know, they've had some good coaches. I just don't understand. Maybe they need to break it down and you know, just
bring
work
Chuck
on pass
Smith
rush.
In, man. Just bring Chuck in. Let him do it.
Listen, the Dr. Rush gets it. Like, I look at Chuck. I watch Chuck videos. Chuck is by far the leading expert on how to pass rush. He's working the chop blocks. He's working rips, moves, and all the other good stuff. He's teaching these young men how to get to the quarterback. Dude, like rushing the pass is like anything else. It's an art form. And you have to learn. You got to hone your craft, man. You got to be able to hone your craft.
I hate to spend the entire segment on just one dude or one facet of the game, but I feel like of the two biggest problems right now with our team, that is certainly a big one. We'll get to the other one in just a moment. But first, our look around the NFL. All of the NFL playoff scenarios explained and outlined next. It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. Hugh Douglas here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Check it out.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekend.
The whole weekend. Radio on the weekend.
The weekend.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend, and neither do we. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Running fast, playing great at all times.
The pre-party for our Falcons.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ryan from under center, first and 10. Play fake to Hill. Matt up, throws, end zone, side, caught, 2 feet down, yes! Touchdown, Calvin Ridley.
I've said this a number of times. I think that the margin in this league is very fine. You know, it's very small. And the difference between, you know, having the home seed in the AFC, you know, and where we were at 4-11, you know, isn't much. You know, I feel like we've got a good core group of guys here that you can build on, you know, and I think we've been competitive. We just haven't found a way to get the job done in finishing situations enough this year. And that's something we definitely have to improve at moving forward.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's the quarterback, Matt Ryan, here with you on a Sunday morning, getting you ready for the Buccaneers and the Falcons. We will get back into this contest in greater detail coming up in about 15 minutes. We did want to at least go around the 17th week of the national football season. We've reached the summit of the regular season here, and I was too lazy to look this up, Hugh, because it would have taken a lot of work. But did you ever play in a scenario in week 17 where you either had nothing to play for because you'd already clinched or nothing to play for because you were playing out the string? Which one is more difficult?
Sitting, nothing to play for. I've done that before. It's funny because shout out to my man Abe Gordon. You know, he sent out, him and Orange sent out some stuff this morning talking about the different incentives and stuff that guys have in their contracts that they're going to be sitting out of. I was in both of those situations, had an incentive laden contract where, you know, so many sacks you get and you get a bonus, and was in a situation where there was nothing to play for in the last week of the season. As a matter of fact, we were playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we played them in the last game of the season, but we were going to see them in the next week in the playoffs. You know, we already knew where we were going to, you know, they were going to the playoffs, we were going to the playoffs.
So you didn't want to show anything.
Yeah, so we didn't play. So it was one of those scenarios. So, yeah, been in that situation before. So, yeah, it's a little weird because you're sitting on the sideline and you're kind of just relaxing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because I remember being in those situations and, you know, rest versus rust type deal. You think about that, but you don't want to get hurt. So it's one of those things where you have to, you know, as a coach – you don't want your guys to get hurt in a scenario like that, you know, so it's a tough spot. It's really a tough spot to be in.
So I'm not going to get into the old pro football focus dude or the guy that they've been showing on NBC with his sleeves rolled up. But this is what our scenarios look like for Week 17. In the AFC, it's very, very simple. The Browns, the Titans, the Ravens, and the Dolphins all are in with wins. They are all the teams that are sitting at 10-5 in the AFC playoff picture. There's five teams for four spots. Browns take on Pittsburgh. Titans are at Houston. The Ravens are at Cincinnati. The Dolphins are at Buffalo. The Colts, it's a little more complicated. They play Jacksonville. Jacksonville's only win this season is against Indianapolis. The Colts need a win and a loss by any of those previous four. They need a loss from the Browns, Titans, Ravens, or Dolphins. Do you think the Colts, if they can get a walkover win over a Jacksonville team with nothing to play for, do you feel like any of those other four teams, Browns against Pittsburgh, Titans at Houston, Ravens in Cincinnati, or Dolphins at Buffalo, you think any of those four teams lose and the Colts can get in?
You say Ravens against Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
And Titans against who?
Houston, Dolphins at Buffalo, Browns against Pittsburgh.
Bruh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
They just need one of those.
Cleveland, like – The Ravens are playing the Cleveland Browns are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger's not playing, mm-hmm. and they're resting everybody. And who would you say
And Dolphins have Tua in the lineup against Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Ravens are playing the Cincinnati team.
Buffalo has locked up everything. It all depends. Like, that Buffalo game, it all depends. Now, that might be the one.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the one. But, boy, like Willie P, I could not stand to be in a situation where my fate is not decided by something that I do. My fate mm-hmm. is going to be decided by everybody else. And when you look at those potential matchups, it doesn't look like it favors Indianapolis. It goes in Indianapolis' favor for any of that to happen. Because
The weirdest thing about this is that two of those games kick off at 1. The Colts don't kick off until 4:25. So they might already know that their game has extra meaning by the time they take the field. But one thing that Frank Reich said this week, and I think Philip Rivers echoed these comments, they're not going to put the scores on the scoreboard in the stadium for them to see. They're going to try and blind that out.
Man,
how difficult is that to do if you're sitting there on the sideline?
Man, stop it. Listen.
Do you scoreboard watch? Is that something you've ever done?
If I'm in a situation like that, hell yes. it's human nature,
because
dude.
They still need to win. It's like, it yeah, because it's like, win, dude, it doesn't matter.
You are in a situation where you're like I said, you don't control your own destiny. And how are you going to stop? He might tell them, okay, don't put the score up on the scoreboard. Somebody's going to know the score. Somebody's watching the score. Somebody. somebody in his circle is going to be knowing. Somebody's going to know the score. And, you know, come on, man. You know you're going to read it on somebody's face. If it's not going your way, somebody's going to, everybody ain't got a poker face. So it's going to be something it's going to be a tail. That's what they call it, a tail when you play poker.
Somebody up in the coach's box is going to have an iPad pulled up.
Man, listen.
You got to believe.
Somebody, because it's like your fate is not, you are not the master of your fate. You're not. Your fate is in the hands of somebody else. So, yeah, you're watching all that.
The master of the domain in the NFC centers around one win and get in game for either Arizona and the Los Angeles Rams. Winner clinches a playoff berth. The loser can still get in. They would need a Chicago loss at Green Bay. The Bears are in with a win regardless against the Green Bay Packers. We wonder what the Packers are playing for in that contest. We said this earlier. If the Rams beat Arizona and Tampa loses today to Atlanta, the Rams would get the 5 seed. Tampa would get the 6 seed. They'd have to go play at 3-seeded Seattle, New Orleans, or Green Bay, depending on how the seeding works at the end of the day. Game 256, final game of the day, is the Washington football team taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. If they win, they get the NFC East. If not, the winner of the Dallas Giants game wins the NFC East. Washington does get back to full strength. Alex Smith will start today. He will have his top running back Antonio Gibson and wide receiver Terry McLaurin at his disposal. But man, you want to talk about a limp to the finish for the Fighting Ron Riveras. This is not exactly something that you look at and you say they did this with a cosmetic eye.
No, so now this is what they are, the Fighting Ron Riveras. I like that a little bit. But
well,
yeah,
better
man,
than calling them, but their old name is, because that's the only way that I could. That's the only way I
the
could.
The Fighting Ron
Rivera,
the Washington
name.
Football it's team. It. Yeah, and exactly. Come to find out, they're probably going to keep that name for a while. But yeah, man, it's it's unfortunate. And then you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're getting ready to play them. Schwartz is thinking about retiring. Wow. And I can only imagine the drama or what he's gone through this season to make him seriously consider, like, you know what, I'm tired of this here stuff. Probably didn't say stuff, probably said something else. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to do something else. So it's amazing the season that they had. Interesting, the season that they've had and how it's worked out for them. Tough spot for the Philadelphia Eagles in this offseason coming up.
I know you've talked to a lot of your folks up in Philadelphia about the situation around surrounding Doug Peterson and also the quarterback situation with Carson Wentz. How tenuous is things, would you think, for Peterson? I know that people have said that he's going to come back, but that leash is awful short.
Man, listen, it's hard to believe. You know, Willie P, I think back, and it's not that far removed where I was riding up to Philadelphia with my son getting ready to see, you know, for the parade. It doesn't feel like it's been that long ago. Mm-hmm. And we've gone from that to having a season where, you know, the quarterback is struggling. The offensive line was horrible. The receivers were banged up. And now we're talking about firing the head coach and the GM.
Crazy.
You know, and then on top of that, there's reports that this might be Zach Ertz last year because the conversation has broken down. This is a Super Bowl team a few years ago. That's why, you know, we talk about the Falcons, to tie it into the Falcons a little bit and how things go. This is the NFL. You know, you talk about that team, and you know you have basically the core group of guys that are still there that won the Super Bowl, but this is the situation. This is how it works in the NFL. There's always a huge turnaround, and you got to rebuild that team to try to make another run. That's why, you know, when you talk about the GM, potential GM and head coach here, it all depends on how he looks at this team and how he feels about this team, whether or not we can get back to the Super Bowl. Can we make that Super Bowl run one more again? Or do you have to go and rebuild this thing?
Some of the other games going on in Week 17, Chiefs and Chargers. The Chiefs, just according to NFL media's Ian Rapoport, have decided to rest Patrick Mahomes and their other high-level starters. Not only will they get this week off, they will get the only first-round bye available to teams in the American Football Conference. Again, Washington football team and the Eagles is the Sunday night contest. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Washington wins, they are the NFC East champions. If not, it will go to the winner of Cowboys and Giants. Also, the win and get in game between the Cardinals and Rams at 4:25, and all the mess that's going on in the AFC with those five teams at 10-5 vying for four spots. We'll come back and refocus our attention on the Falcons and Buccaneers. We already covered one of the Falcons' biggest problems heading into 2021. The second one is just as mighty. We'll discuss that coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.